Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
You're listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Your host, Jeff Fish, is the founder of Awakened Bible Ministries, a passionate teacher of God's Word with a heart to see the church awakened, walking in truth and holiness, and living in the power of God that brings freedom, deliverance, and revival found only in Jesus Christ. This week, Jeff launches a new series on the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Who is Jesus? Is he just a man, a prophet, or a created being? Or is he eternal God in the flesh? Today, we begin by answering the foundational question, who is God the Son? Our key verse is John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. Last week, we spent 5 powerful days studying God the Father, His identity, His role in creation and redemption, His attributes, His authority, and our relationship with Him as adopted sons and daughters. But now we turn our eyes to the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. This week, we are going to dig deep into who Jesus truly is. Because if you get Jesus wrong, you get the entire gospel wrong. If you misunderstand the Son, you cannot know the Father. If you reduce him to anything less than God, you have stripped Christianity of its power. So today, we start with this question. Who is God the Son? Let's begin with our key verse in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John wastes no time in declaring the eternal nature of the Son. He doesn't start with Bethlehem. He doesn't start with Mary or the manger. He pulls the curtain back to eternity past. In the beginning was the Word. That means before creation, before time, before Genesis 1:1, the Son already existed. He was not created. He was not an afterthought. He was there in the beginning. And the Word was with God. That shows distinction. The Word is not the same person as the Father. He is with God. And the Word was God. That shows equality. The Word is fully God, sharing the same divine essence. So in 2 verses, John tells us the Son is eternal, distinct, and divine. He is God the Son. Now let's talk about his eternal existence. Some false teachings have claimed that Jesus was created, that he had a beginning. Groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses will say he is a mighty being, but not eternal God. Islam will say he was a prophet, but not God in the flesh. And secular culture may reduce him to a moral teacher. But scripture is clear. Jesus is eternal. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But it says his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 declares, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." He is eternal. He is unchanging. He is God. Now let's talk about his divine identity as the Son. The title Son of God does not mean that Jesus was born or created by the Father in eternity past. It speaks of his unique relationship. He is of the same nature as the Father. Just as a human father begets a human son, the divine Father has a divine Son. In John chapter 5, verse 18, the Jewish leaders sought to kill Jesus because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They understood the claim. By calling himself Son of God, Jesus was claiming equality with the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, "I and the Father are one." And in John chapter 14, verse 9, he told Philip, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." The Son reveals the Father because he shares his essence. He is God in the flesh. And this is confirmed in John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the mystery of the incarnation, the eternal Word, God the Son. He took on human flesh. He didn't stop being God. He didn't set aside his divinity. He added humanity to his divinity. He became fully God and fully man. And that matters because only as fully God could he bear the weight of the world's sin. And only as fully man could he stand in our place. Let's pause and address some misconceptions. There is no Old Testament God who is angry and a New Testament Jesus who is kind. God does not change. The same God who thundered on Mount Sinai is the same God who wept at Lazarus's tomb. The same God who judged Egypt is the same God who healed the sick and fed the hungry. The Son is not different in character from the Father. He perfectly reveals him. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says of the Son, "He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the perfect image of the invisible God. Now let's consider the Son's role within the Trinity. The Father is the source. The Son is the Word, and the Spirit is the power. Distinct roles, perfect unity. The Son is sent by the Father. The Son reveals the Father. The Son accomplishes the Father's will. Yet he is not lesser. He is not created. He is co-equal, co-eternal, and consubstantial with the Father and the Spirit. This is why the early church fought so fiercely over this doctrine. At the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, they declared that the Son is begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. That wasn't philosophical fluff. It was a line in the sand. Because if the Son is not fully God, he cannot fully save. So let's talk about worship. Because throughout Scripture, worship belongs to God alone. In Exodus chapter 20, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, it says, "I will not give my glory to another." So when the disciples worshiped Jesus, when Thomas fell before him and said in John chapter 20, verse 28, "My Lord and my God." If Jesus were not God, that would have been blasphemy. But Jesus received that worship because he is worthy. In Revelation chapter 5, Jesus sees all of heaven singing to the Lamb. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing." The Son is worshiped equally with the Father because he is God. Now, why does all this matter? Why spend so much time hammering this truth? Because if Jesus is anything less than God, your faith is powerless. If he is not God, then his death was just the death of another man. If he is not God, then his blood cannot cleanse your sin. If he is not God, then his resurrection cannot guarantee your eternal life. But if he is God, then his death is sufficient for the whole world. His blood cleanses every stain. His resurrection secures your future. His promises are unshakable. The identity of the Son is not a side issue. It is the cornerstone of the gospel. So let me ask you, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a teacher? Just a prophet? Just a moral example? Or is he the eternal Son of God? Your Savior, your Lord, your King? Jesus himself asked this question in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the confession upon which the church is built. That is the truth that saves. Now, as we wrap up today, let me challenge you with this. Don't reduce Jesus to someone small enough to fit in your pocket. Don't make him a mascot for your opinions or a symbol for your culture. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Word made flesh. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Fall before him. Worship him. Confess him as Lord and live in awe of who he is. And tomorrow, we are going to look at how the Son was present in both creation and incarnation. We'll see that everything was made through him, and yet he humbled himself to step into creation as one of us. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. If this podcast has blessed you, please consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. To stay connected and explore more content from Awakened Bible Ministries, please visit the link tree in the podcast description. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through Patreon or DonorBox. DonorBox also provides a new way for our international listeners to partner with our ministry safely and securely. All giving options can be found through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.